comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's the show where you matter. Tonight's going to be Open Line Live. Now, we didn't get to have one last week because of scheduling. We had a couple of guests that we could only get for the time slot we put them in, and it had to be last week. And so we didn't get to do our Open Line Live show last week. And for those of you who are new, we try to do at least one Open Line Live. Well, usually just one Open Line Live show each and every week. But we don't do it on the same night each week. So we rotate that around. Tonight is the night. It is Open Line Live, and it's going to be BYOT. That means bring your own topic. So long as it's within our genre, we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Now, our genre, of course, is anything that falls into the strange and unexplained, paranormal phenomena, UFOs, extraterrestrials, futuristic science, strange psychic phenomena, remote viewing, space exploration, anything that is in the realm of the strange and unexplained. We don't talk about how to repair your car, how to put a new roof on your house, or how to bake cookies. Okay, but if it's within our genre, it's BYOT, bring your own topic. Now, I've got two or three reports that I'm going to throw on the table. And for your consideration, if you want to talk about those, we can. If you don't, well, just tell me what's on your mind and we'll talk about that. The K-Files, that's our free weekly newsletter, and I thought we had that link fixed yesterday. I was thoroughly convinced it was fixed, but it obviously is not working. So I do want you to subscribe, but there's no way you can subscribe tonight. That link is broken on my website, but it's high priority. We'll get it fixed right after the show, so first thing tomorrow you will be able to subscribe, or just stay up late tonight and just keep checking, and some point during the night that link will be fixed and you can subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Don't forget the earthquake victims. Now, we've been hearing in the news all about New Zealand, but New Zealand's not the only place that got hit with earthquakes yesterday. However, they did have very heavy damage in the Christchurch region, and buildings collapsed. Scores of people are reported dead. Scores more trapped in the rubble, and emergency rescue teams are working feverishly to get everyone out safe and alive that they possibly can. So keep them in your thoughts and in your prayers. Things like this are always very, very tragic and very, very trying, and seems like it's happening more often, doesn't it? We will be back with Open Line Live on the other side of this break, so get your fingers ready. At some point, I'm going to open the phone lines.
Come on.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is Open Line Live tonight. I love Open Line Live. It's like getting to return to university because so many different topics come up, and people have such great ideas and perspectives and points of view. I absolutely love Open Line Live. Couple of things. I got over the past two or three weeks, I've gotten two or three emails from new listeners. And wow, I love getting your email. So be sure that you send it to me. But you need to know that in order for your email to guarantee that I see it, in order to guarantee that I see your email, you have to use our contact page. The reason is, this show has been on the air for 10 years and on the internet for 10 years as well. We started out as just an internet show. As a matter of fact, we have the distinction of being, I was told this week by someone who owns a radio network that this show has the distinction of being the longest continuous running show being streamed or broadcast on the internet. I hope that's true. I don't know if we are the oldest, the longest running, but I do know this. We're not just on the internet anymore. We're on AM, FM, shortwave. We are on internet radio, internet television. We are on mobile devices. You can listen to us on your telephone, your cell phones, or if you're a member, you can watch the show on your mobile devices. But the point is this. I've gotten two or three emails where people have said, boy, I just found your show, I like the show, but you know, you need to have free archives. And they really hammered me on this. Doesn't make me angry, but I need to explain to you, you need to understand that after 10 years, been there, done that, and convenience, look, the traffic on our site is so heavy that our site is not at one hosting company. Okay, it's split. And so when you go to my site, you're actually dealing with servers that are across the country from each other. And you never know it. But we have to do that because the traffic is so heavy. That's the only way we can make it work. And we have servers outside the country as well. All of that is very, very expensive to provide you the convenience of being able to listen to the archives, which means you can listen to the show at your convenience instead of live. It's free live. It's free live. But who do you suspect is going to pay for that convenience? Well, for a long time, I paid for it out of my pocket, and it just grew beyond my ability to do it. And so we charge you the princely, unheard of, outrageously expensive sum of 23 cents per day, $6.95 to be a member. Now, you don't need to be a member in order to listen to the show. You can listen to the show free every night, live. But if you want the conveniences and the bells and the whistles and lots of cool stuff, it's 23 cents a day. Again, thanks for your email, and I do appreciate email. I get so much of it because of the fact that we have been out there for 10 years. I get spammed, as you might imagine. And that means, what that means is I get anywhere from, it runs between, on a very, very, very low side, 80 emails an hour to 500 emails per hour. Per hour. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I get that kind of spam. And we have to have our email addresses out there public because that's what we do. We're in the communications business, are we not? And so we have to have it out there. So we have very rigorous filters installed. If you don't use our contact page to email me, you have about a 1% chance of getting through those very rigorous spam filters. If you use the contact page, you're going to get through, and I will see it. But please, if you're suggesting that I look at something, select suggestion. If you're commenting on a show or a topic, and you know you're making a comment about some guest that we had or whatever, use listener comment. All right, let's talk about some pretty serious stuff. I know that all of you have heard the very tragic news about baby dolphins in the Gulf of Mexico dying and washing ashore at a rate of about 10 times the normal rate for this time of year. Already across the internet, there are a lot of people that are saying, aha, you see, this is because of the BP oil disaster and because of the deadly dispersant that they sprayed. They put it all on that oil and it's in the water. And it might be that. It could be that. At the moment, no one really knows. At the moment, what they're saying is, you know, it could be just a coincidence, but it sure doesn't seem to be a coincidence. Well, as a matter of fact, here is Moby Solanghi, who is the IMMS director. And he says, for some reason, the dolphins have started aborting or they were dead before they were born. We shouldn't really jump to any conclusions, but this is more than just a coincidence. So it is tragic news. Now, some people would say, oh, who cares? It's just a dolphin. You better care. I mean, look, I'm not a tree hugger, but you better care about the environment and you better care about the ecology because you got to live on this planet. And if you kill it, it kills you. Pretty simple. Whatever's killing the dolphins certainly could be dangerous to us, couldn't it? Well, folks, I went looking for information about these dolphins that died, and I found something pretty interesting. It's all in the news right now, down in the Gulf of Mexico, along the Gulf Coast. That's all in the news, and that's what we're hearing about because it's current. But has anything like this ever happened before? And the answer to that is most definitely it has. I found a report from Friday, 2nd of November, 2007. Now, this report has to do with 152 dolphins that washed ashore. But it wasn't in the Gulf of Mexico. It was in the Persian Gulf, and they washed up on a beach in Iran. And newspapers did weird stuff. At first, they published the stories. They ran the pictures of the hundreds of dead dolphin carcasses on the beach. They ran those pictures in the newspapers in Iran. And they ran stories that said that the dolphins had committed mass suicide. Now, that is, of course, a possibility. It's a far-fetched one, but it's a possibility. 152 dolphins committing mass suicide. It's not like, I mean, look, I'm not a dolphin, and I don't speak dolphin, but I think I'm pretty much on target here. When I say it's not like the Dolphins have a Jim Jones cult leader that gets into the water with them and, in his little dolphin squeak, starts controlling their minds and convinces them all to commit suicide. That to me is kind of a ridiculous idea. And how did they all decide that they needed to commit suicide together? So it seems just, far-fetched. And it seems so even to the scientists in Iran. Some of the dolphin carcasses were taken to the veterinary college in Tehran, and they did what with animals, they call it a necropsy. If it's a human body, they call it an autopsy or a postmortem. It's the same thing, and looking for reasons that these dolphins had died. When people laughed at the newspapers for suggesting that they had committed mass suicide, the newspapers came back and said, well, it probably was that they were caught in the fishermen's nets and that the fishermen had beat them to death. 152 of them. 152 of them. That seemed also implausible. Well, the head of Iran's state-run fisheries organization was someone by the name of Shahaban Ali Nizami. Mr. Nizami alleged that the dolphins were victims of experimental U.S. surveillance techniques. He has also said they could have been killed by electromagnetic waves from military vessels in the Gulf and Oman Sea, where the U.S. and British navies conduct regular patrols. Well, of course, as you would expect, that had some currency with the population of Iran. That seemed plausible. The average... I know some Iranian people. I certainly don't know enough Iranian people that I could say, here's what they think. I could tell you what my acquaintances think, but I couldn't tell you what the majority opinion of Iranians on the street is. But I have been told, and by Iranians and by people, other people who have spent time in Iran, I have been told that the Iranian people do not hate, in majority, they do not hate Americans and do not hate America. Nevertheless, you must admit that America does have a reputation for doing things that are rather nefarious and dastardly while saying they didn't. Now, we have some good examples of that. We all know about the experiments that were done on patients in Tuskegee. And during the Clinton administration, finally the government admitted that they had been doing experimentation on humans in Tuskegee and other places. And you may remember the report that came out, even detailed, giving milk that was laced with radiation to orphanages and to homes that cared for people who were intellectually challenged. Americans were horrified. Yes, we all suspected it was going on. But when the report came out from the government and they made it public, it was horrific. Our government, right here in the land of the free, the home of the brave, had been administering high levels of radiation to little kids just to see what would happen. They had infected a group of people in Tuskegee with syphilis and then treated them with things that weren't drugs just to see what would happen. And then within the past year, we have our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, apologizing to South American nations for doing that to them. Now, people around the world, while you here in America may be surprised to hear these things, and you're shocked when you hear it, because that isn't you, that isn't what you think, and that certainly flies in the face of your values, and you just find it hard to believe that our government, elected to represent us, would do things that people were charged with war crimes after World War II for doing some of those things. And they stood trial at Nuremberg. And it's hard for you to fathom that here in the land of the free, the home of the brave, that your representative government would do that. And yet, they themselves have documented it, admitted it, and had to apologize to other nations for it. But don't think that means they quit doing it. And other nations around the world know about this. So in Iran, this story that it says Mr. Nizami said that these dolphins could have been killed by electromagnetic waves from military vessels in the Gulf and Oman Sea, where the U.S. and British navies conduct regular patrols. All right, now, allow me to count. 1, 2, 3. Three paragraphs later in this report, it says, the explanation was dismissed by environmental experts after tissue examinations showed no sign of poisoning or pollution. Look, I've talked to you about this so many times, you know exactly what I'm going to say. Mr. Nizami talked about electromagnetic waves. This report, this article says that the explanation was dismissed by environmental experts after tissue examinations showed no sign of poisoning or pollution. Did I miss something? Or did the environmental experts miss something? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line live. We'll open the phone lines in a minute. And I want to make clear that what I talked about before the break, I am not anti-American. I love my country. But I recognize the fact that this country is like a giant mammoth. If it makes a little mistake, if a mammoth makes a little miscalculation in its step and steps on your foot, it's a little mistake for that mammoth. It's a giant mistake for you. And that's the way it is around the world. When a bad decision is made by the government of the United States of America, if it's a bad decision, it may be a little bad decision for America. But if it steps on somebody's foot, it can be a giant problem for somebody else. And I think it's right that our government came out and admitted what they had done in these cases. And I think it's right that they apologized for what they had done. I think there's some more things they need to admit and apologize for. But the point is this. Because of that, see, people around the world know about all of this. You here in America don't hear about it much. We here in America don't hear about it much. But around the world, people are very aware of this. And so when Mr. Nizami said, I think those dolphins were killed possibly by electromagnetic waves from those ships out there. He is the head of Iran's state-run fisheries organization. And so he should be taken seriously. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, and here's why I think he was right. Because in the reporting, it tells us the explanation from Mr. Nizami was dismissed by environmental experts after tissue examination showed no sign of poisoning or pollution. But it does not address electromagnetic waves. Now, I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that the dolphins that are washing up on the beaches along the Gulf of Mexico were killed by electromagnetic waves. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we've been seeing a number of die-offs of a number of species. 2 million fish in Chesapeake Bay, hundreds of thousands of fish in a river in Arkansas, thousands of birds in various places around the world. And we've heard all kinds of explanations on the internet. We've heard all kinds of stories on the internet from, you know, it was phosgene gas to it was HAARP, it was this, it was that. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's Mother Nature. I think Nizami may have been on to something. Now, you know, I fully understand how some people feel because he's Iranian, and a lot of people in Western countries absolutely are terrified of Iran because of Ahmadinejad. They think he's nuts, and he's working rapidly towards becoming a nuclear power. And I think it's reasonable to be fearful of Ahmadinejad. But there are millions of Iranians who are not Ahmadinejad and who are not Ahmadinejad fans. I don't know whether Nizami is or not, but when he says that he thinks it possibly could be from electromagnetic waves, this is in 2007, could be from electromagnetic waves coming from American and British ships. When he says that, and then the environmental experts, whose names we are not given, don't even address that in why they're dismissing his explanation. They don't even address electromagnetic waves. When you put all of that together, it sure looks like he must have been right on target. Or at least very, very close to being right on target. In the Gulf of Mexico, millions upon millions of barrels of crude oil were just allowed to gush into the Gulf. Tons and tons and tons of extremely toxic core exit dispersant was sprayed on that. Then you had government officials coming along very rapidly, very quickly after all of that, saying, most of the oil's gone. Are you kidding me? Are you people, you experts that are out there mouthing that for the government, do you think we're stupid? You think we have never seen oil in water? It doesn't dissolve. Well, we put the dispersant on it. Okay, so that breaks it up into little smaller globules of oil. It breaks it up into smaller pieces. It doesn't dissolve. It's all still there. So, I don't know. Look, is the dolphin die-off in the Gulf, is it because of BP? That's the easy solution. But it may not be right. Everybody, you know, it's fashionable to jump on BP's back and beat them on the head. It's fashionable to do that, but it may not be correct here. It might be, but it might not be. There may be another explanation. There may be some kind of electromagnetic waves being directed into the Gulf from some source we know not of, causing these dolphins to die. That's a possibility. It's a possibility that it could be something environmental, but not related directly to the BP oil spill. There are a lot of things it could be. Lots of things it could be. When I open up the phone lines, I'd like to get your opinion, your thoughts about what you think is killing those dolphins down in the Gulf of Mexico. And I hope you understand what I said about why I think Mr. Nazami in Iran may have been either right on target or very, very close to target. I hope you understand why I say that. I say it because we're not told who those environmental experts are. We hear some explanation from them about oranges when what's under discussion is walnuts. They didn't even address what he said about electromagnetic waves. So that's very suspicious to me. All right, we're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines and invite you to participate in the show tonight. You may have some other topic you wish to talk about a little later on. If we have time, I've got another report or two to throw out there. But here's what we're going to do. Open line live. We invite you to call one call per show per person. Okay? But here's the deal. That you can call many, many times, but once we put you on the air, take your best shot, okay? Because we put you on the air one time. Okay. The telephone numbers are as follows. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you need to call me toll-free, you can do that in the USA and Canada. And that telephone number is 888-223-4599. Now, if you are a first-time caller, only first-time callers can use this number. So if you're a first-time caller, you can call me at 623-237-3814. All right? All right, to the telephones, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
As to the Gulf of Mexico, I don't know what to say, but the recent findings that have nothing to do with dolphins is at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico is essentially dead. The seafloor is dead.
Yes, that is correct.
No life.
That is correct.
So it may have, if they developed in the womb and died, it may be some kind of poisoning from either the oil or the dispersant or several other things. Now, as to the 2007 die-off, I look at it this way. The human body and probably every other body on the planet, every biological entity has an electrical component.
Mm-hmm.
So that electrical shock can stop the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The guy in Iran may have been onto something, but he was probably poo-pooed because the powers that want to be didn't want to admit that they made a mistake.
Or that they did it on purpose. Because now, look, one of the things I didn't read, Nizami pointed out, that's the guy in Iran, he pointed out that this type of dolphin that's washing ashore does not naturally inhabit the Persian Gulf. They had to be brought there from somewhere. And he conjectured that they must have been brought by either the U.S. or British Navy, perhaps for some type of experiment, and they did not survive the experiment. So, you know, that adds another stick to the fire. These are not a type of dolphin that normally inhabits the Persian Gulf.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, like I said, electromagnetic waves, that's why I'm slightly more than intimidated about this taser gun, because you hit somebody with a heart problem, it could kill them.
I think the taser gun, and this doesn't have anything at all to do with this show, but or with our genre, except it is kind of futuristic science. Taser gun, every policeman in the world, well, every policeman in America, is taught what is called the force continuum and in the police academy. And there are seven levels of force. Use of electronic devices like tasers come just before lethal force or fatal force. All right, now here's my problem with that, Brent. If I, as a police officer, pull my gun out of the holster as I'm telling you to do something, even if I never pointed at you and pulled the trigger, I have legally used lethal force. Stand by. I want to finish this with you. We'll be back, folks, right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the line with me, Brent from Wyoming. Brent, I was talking about these tasers and this force continuum. And each level in this force continuum, there are certain parameters that have to, certain prerequisites that have to be there in order for you to use that level of force. Okay. Now, if you're not in fear for your life, if the officer's not in fear for his life, he cannot use lethal force. The one exception to that is he can use it in order to protect someone else from being killed. Okay. So that means if I'm not at level 7 yet, I'm not in fear for my life and this person's not about to kill somebody, and I take out my baton and I whack him in the head, I will be charged, should be charged, for illegal use of force. I should be charged possibly with attempted homicide, certainly with aggravated battery,
mm-hmm.
because the prerequisites did not exist, and the way the law looks at it is it was reasonably foreseeable that death could result from that action. If we're not at level 7 yet, and I pull my gun from my holster, even though I don't point it and I don't pull the trigger, I have technically escalated to level 7, and if the prerequisites are not there, and I'm not in fear for my life or trying to keep you from killing someone else, then I am in violation of the law. So I can't whack you in the head with a baton. I can't whack you in the head with a baton. I can't pull my gun out. But I watch cops on television pull their taser and hit people with that taser, fire it into them, for simply mouthing off at them. And we know for sure people have died from this. It is reasonably foreseeable that when you put 50,000 volts in someone's body, you can kill them. Someday, some smart lawyer right out of law school is going to say, you know what, Johnny Cochran's dead, it's my turn. And he's going to step to the plate, and he's going to take down a whole bunch of cops and police departments on that issue. I hate to see it happen, yep. But it will happen.
I agree.
Yep. Okay, man, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
623-444-5889. You know, look, especially for our new listeners, I am an ex-cop. Spent my life as a cop. I am pro-cop when the cops are pros. When the cops are dirty, I am all for them being prosecuted and jailed. If they're dirty, they should be. They should be held accountable. But I'm pro-cop, and I'm pro-American. And it's just such a weird thing to sit here in America knowing that if you speak in favor of all the things you were raised on in this country, you now get put on a list as a possible threat, you know? Like I'm in favor of the Constitution. You know, that's one of the things that can get you on the list. All right, what about these dolphins? Folks, these animals are beautiful creatures, and they are highly intelligent creatures, and something is killing them. Now, you got to realize, remember when I said, if you kill the plankton, you just killed us. You kill the microorganisms at the bottom of the food chain, you've killed the top of the food chain. That's us. Dolphins are pretty high up on that food chain. They're not at the bottom. To the first-time caller line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
I wanted to talk about chemtrails.
All right, let's talk about chemtrails.
Last night I listened to Coast to Coast, and they had a guest on, and he gave a reason for chemtrails, and it seemed to, I've always wondered about chemtrails, and always had a, you know, something didn't seem right about it, and his theory was that it was to put barium up in the sky to reflect radiation from a brown dwarf star, and pardon me?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, I'm sorry. It seems to make sense to me because those who are doing this, they have families on the earth, and I don't think they're deliberately trying to kill us or depopulate us, but this might be a lesser of two evils. And it just seems like it was a good reason to have the chemtrails.
Well, Jerome, you may be right. However, you cannot assume that these people have families. Maybe they do, but I can tell you there are a number of types of missions where the military very meticulously finds people who have no families, few friends, nobody's going to miss them, and they are more easily bent toward doing something that may later be determined to be horrendously illegal. Now, I'm not saying that that is the case. I'm just saying you have to keep it in mind. That might be the case. They may be using pilots for this mission, for this program, who have no family, no friends to speak of. They're kind of loners, and they've been elevated to this elite corps. It could be that. And in that case, then you're probably looking at something that doesn't have good intentions. So we just don't have enough information to know which way that goes. We do have enough information to know it could go either way.
Well, I see what you're saying, and I agree with the loner theory that you're talking about, that these people are loners and are elevated. The headmasters, I don't think they have any value on life. I don't think that they would be, you know, as you and me would be concerned about the average person.
Well, I think that's true. And look, what happens is this. People in those extreme high positions very often they justify their actions and decisions by saying, well, the little people out there don't have the big picture. And yes, this is going to be bad for a lot of the little people. But if we don't depopulate this planet down to a certain number, nobody's going to survive. So in order that some may survive, we've got to do this. And so they justify actions and decisions by, you know, falling back to that it's the big picture thing.
Well, I see where you're coming from, and they're the chosen people, and they'll be the ones to be chosen to stay alive. I guess here I'll just keep my eyes open and keep, you know, seeing what happens on this chemtrails. And I did want to mention one other thing about charging for the archives.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing because before you did that, I would listen to it and not pay for it. And it wasn't until you chose to require us to pay that I got off my butt and became a member.
Okay.
So kudos.
Well, thank
kudos
you.
Kudos for that.
Thank you, Jerome. I appreciate it. And thanks for that call. All right. Yeah, but, you know, I don't charge much for the archives. I mean, and plus, you got to realize, it's not just the archives. That's there. But you get your own profile page, your own blog, your own photo gallery that you can load your photos in. You can publish your own articles there. You have a friends page. You have forums. There's a chat room. There's a library of free ebooks to download. There's a library of videos to watch for free. Lots and lots of stuff. Plus, you get to watch the show live, or if you can't watch it live, it's up there for 24 hours after we finish the show, and you can watch it at your convenience during that next 24 hours. So there's a whole lot of stuff in there. It's only 23 cents a day. Chemtrails. Now, that's something that there are parts of the country where people say, I've never seen them. There are other parts of the country where people see them every day. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight. It's BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. Now, I brought a topic and threw it out there on the table for us to talk about. I think it's an important topic. It has to do with some very serious things happening in terms of our environment, our ecology, but possibly also the involvement of some very futuristic science. And that's the death of these dolphins, these baby dolphins, washing ashore along the Gulf Coast of the United States of America. And as I said, there were 152 dolphins that washed ashore in Iran back in 2007. Someone who is an official in Iran and who certainly would have the background and training to make a statement about marine animal life, said his name's Mr. Nizami, and he said that he thought it was possible that these dolphins in off the coast of Iran were killed as a result of electromagnetic waves being transmitted by either U.S. Navy or British Navy ships. I don't know if that's true, but it sure is curious that the article went on to tell us that environmental experts dismissed his explanation because tissue samples from those dolphins did not show pollution or poison. Well, what has pollution and poison got to do with electromagnetic waves? The fact that they didn't even address the electromagnetic waves in their dismissal of his explanation indicates to me he must have been either right on target or very, very close to being right on target. So that's why I brought it up tonight. You might be saying, well, look, I thought, you know, this is supposed to be about, you know, strange and unexplained. Well, this certainly is strange and unexplained. And it could possibly involve futuristic science being used, some type of futuristic science that, in being used, is killing the dolphins. Now, I don't want you to go away from this saying that I said that's the case. I don't know. But because of that case in 2007, and because of the very strange way it was reported, it is a possibility. I think we have to consider that. I think we have to open our minds and consider that it is a possibility that there's some kind of electromagnetic involvement in the deaths of those dolphins along the U.S. Gulf Coast. Over in the UK, there are some very curious things that happen. In the UK, almost all of the so-called UFOs that get reported are sort of just brushed off, brushed aside, with an explanation that they probably were Chinese wedding candles. And, you know, enough of that's enough. I mean, I have to say to those guys that keep writing that nonsense, the same thing I say to our guys in this country that write that nonsense, get you some better script writers. That's old, tired, worn out, and, you know, undoubtedly, sometimes a Chinese wedding candle that is set adrift in the air may be mistaken by someone on the ground. That sure, that's possible. All of the UFOs, give us a break. Come on. The people of the UK are not morons, and neither are the people around the rest of the world. We know. You may not want to tell us, but we know when we see a UFO. Sometimes we see something that we have to say it's a UFO because that means unidentified flying object, but we don't have any possibility of knowing what it is. And they had such an event on January 30, 2010. And it happened in the UK. It happened at a place called Cheltenham in the UK, January 30, 2011. Now, those who are watching our TV station are seeing the video of that event. The object that they're seeing, like almost all UFO videos, it's shaking and moving around because they're not using a tripod and they have it zoomed in. But still, we can see moments where it's really very clear, and it appears there's it's lit up, and it appears to have one spot on it that's a very bright light, and it appears to be some kind of structure. Is it possible that it is a hoax? Sure it is. You bet. It's always possible. It's possible the money that's in your wallet right now is counterfeit, too. Have you thought about that? It's possible your spouse is not faithful. Have you thought about that? It's possible your dog, man's best friend, actually hates you. Have you thought about that? Anything is possible. But this is a very intriguing video. It's very, very interesting. If you haven't seen it, you can find it over on YouTube. Just put in Cheltenham UFO. Cheltenham UFO. Just do a search for that. You'll find it, and it is a very intriguing video. This is one of my pet peeves, though. And look, if you're not going to call, I'm going to ramble. Okay, so it's one of my pet peeves that if you see a cow and someone tries to convince you that it's a Cadillac, and they try to sell you that Cadillac, you would be incensed. You would say, man, you know, what do you think, I'm insane? You think I'm nuts? And you would think that person is nuts. When it comes to UFOs, someone out there says, you know, you've seen one, and someone out there says, oh, come on, there's no such thing as UFOs. It's probably just a wedding candle, you know, a Chinese wedding candle. And they convince you that your eyes didn't see what they saw. Why? Why do you let them do that? The number one reason why is because you are afraid. You're afraid, well, they'll think I'm crazy. Now look, these people don't pay your bills. What do you care what they think? I mean, honestly, why do you care? Why not stick to your guns? If you see a cow, it's a cow. It's not a Cadillac. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Rick at Livermore.
Yeah, Rick.
You know, I had a comment about that supposedly horse that was seen in Cairo a couple of weeks ago, running through the crowd.
Yeah, now, before you make your comment, let me make mm-hmm. sure you understand, we didn't say that's what it was. We said right. That's a weird video, and we can't figure out how you could do that, okay? And that it was shaped like, looked like, you know, the shape of a horse. Other than that, we don't know what it is. So, go ahead.
Well, you know, I looked at that thing a number of times, and it looked kind of suspicious to me, and I heard all the comments that everybody was making about it. I thought it was an apparition from the Bible and everything else. You know, I got a mirror, and I held that up at the bottom of the video that's on YouTube and watched that, which was supposedly a horse, wa- walking through the crowd. And if you look at that supposedly horse in the mirror, which would then be upside down, where the horse's legs were, or supposed to be, you could see where there would be like a flare-up of light coming off from it. And it appeared to me that every time that flare-up appeared, that the bonfire that was above the crowd and across the street had the same flare-up at the same time. I noticed that you said you didn't see the three orbs that were behind the horse.
Never did.
Yeah. Well, on the video that I was watching, you could see them behind which was supposed to be the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them moved, and there was no distance change between any of the three of them. And if you looked close enough, you could actually see a reflection that was behind them and followed the same course as what was supposed to be the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to just take a wild guess and say that that's a reflection on the lens in the camera. And if you look at it, you know, continue watching it in the mirror, it actually looks more like a reflection. You get a different view of the picture, and it gives you a better idea of what you can actually see. So that whole thing,
yeah,
about people going on about, you know, an apparition from the Bible, and, you know, it was some kind of...
Well, nobody did. Nobody did. All we did was we asked the question, because that's the way it got posted on YouTube. Mm-hmm. On this show, nobody was going on about that.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I'd voice my opinion about it. That's what I thought it was. You know, it's just a reflection on the camera lens itself, you know, rather than, you know, a reflection off of a piece of glass that might have been in front of the camera, which was not there, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, it could not be that type of reflection because there was no glass in front of the camera. But you are right. You can get internal reflections in camera lenses. I know because I use cameras every night. And you know, I'm not saying that it's anything paranormal either. I'm saying it's very weird. But I will say this, I don't think what you're looking at is a reflection being caused by those flames, because the flames constantly are changing position and shape, and the so-called horse does not.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a reflection. If it is a reflection, it's got to be of some other light source other than those flames.
No, you know, if you would just... Well, take a few moments of your busy schedule and actually take a mirror, Kevin,
mm-hmm.
and look at that supposedly horse in the mirror. You'll actually see that when there is a flare-up in that bonfire, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
that same flare-up appears at the which would now be the top of that apparition, and it seems to be a little bit more distinct. Looking at it from a different view rather than straight on, if you're looking at your screen, your computer
mm-hmm.
screen,
mm-hmm.
just give it a try and see what you think. And
okay.
maybe some other callers can call and say, well, you know what? That's maybe what it was, rather than, you know, some kind of a apparition or whatever you want to call it. So, that's all I wanted to make a comment about this evening.
Okay, I will give it a try, you know, there's no way I can state any kind of opinion on it not having tried it, but I'll give it a try.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with you, you know, there was no actual horse or apparition or anything like that, but, you know, maybe then with you looking at it upside down, you may see those three orbs that were following the horse also.
Okay.
And you, when you see there's no distance change between the three of those lower, those orbs.
All right.
Looking at a different view, you get a different perspective, and it makes it a little bit more clear. At least I thought it did. So anyway, I'll let you get on to your next caller, Kevin.
Okay. Well, look, Rick, I appreciate the call.
Sure, Kevin.
All right. Yeah. Now, please keep in mind, when we raise a question, that doesn't mean that we're promoting a view. Okay? I've raised a question here tonight about the possibility that there may be some kind of electromagnetic waves, some kind of experimental something, or even operational, that may be causing the deaths of these dolphins. And the reason I raise that is because that was raised in 2007 in the deaths of 152 dolphins and was summarily dismissed with the most ridiculous dismissal explanation I can think of. So I raise the question. It doesn't mean I'm promoting that that is the answer. I raise the question. Same thing with this apparition that Rick was talking about. I'm calling it an apparition, but I'm using that in a photographic sense. It's a photographic apparition. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, this during the protests in Cairo, a video was taken, it was shot from a balcony, and this video is not a home video. This is a video feed that was going to news networks. And in that, I mean, it went out live on television. MSNBC broadcast it. Euronews broadcast it. A lot of others broadcast it. They were using the same live video feed. And you can see what looks like, for lack of a better word, a sort of ghostly horse with a rider that rides across that bridge from one side of the bridge to the other, from left side of the road to the right side of the road, and then appears to jump into the air and disappear. Can it be hoaxed? Well, I had a filmmaker on, and we talked about it, and he said he didn't know any way that you could hoax it live. He said, sure, you can hoax it if you've got, if it's a videotape that you're manipulating or a video recording that you're manipulating. But live, he didn't know a way that you could do that. And so we were just talking about what could have caused it, and we raised several questions. One of the questions I raised was because of the way it got posted on YouTube, people were posting it calling it the Fourth Horseman, which is a reference to the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as described in the book of Revelation. So I raised the question, and Dr. Alfred Adams, who is a filmmaker, but who is also a theologian, dismissed it and gave reasons why it didn't match the descriptions of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. But it was posted that way on YouTube, so we raised the question. Understand that when we raise the question, we are raising a question. We're not promoting that as the answer, okay? So what do you think about the dolphin thing, huh? I've raised the question, what do you think? What do you think about that UFO in the UK that I just showed the video of it? What do you think about that thing? Could that be a Chinese wedding candle? I don't think so. If we zoom in on it, you can see it's got some kind of form, some kind of structure. It definitely has one part that looks like it's got a very bright light. And it's, by the way, folks, it's not circular like a classic description of a flying saucer. So, I don't know. It's a very weird shaped thing. What do you think? You think that's real, or is that a real UFO, or is that something someone has hoaxed up and somehow gotten into the sky and doing it to tease people who believe in UFOs? 623-444-5889, toll free 888-223-4599. If you're a first time caller, you can call me on the first time caller line, 623-237-3814. Now, one thing that I have not mentioned yet tonight is that we also have a feature on our website for people who are not in the United States and they're not in Canada. Now, you can call the show at our main number, and it works. And we have gotten calls from folks in Taiwan, Hong Kong, Australia, South Africa, South America, Chile, Brazil, Peru. Where else have we gotten calls from? Oh yeah, Germany, Norway, Finland, France, and the UK, and a bunch of places around the world. So you can call us at that number, and we would be more than delighted to hear from you. But if you don't want to make that international long-distance call, I don't have a toll-free number that's international. The toll-free number, it works only in the USA and Canada, and that's not my choice. That's the telephone companies. So what I've got is something called Flash Message, and you can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. And all you have to do is look to the right side of that picture, and you'll see a link that says Flash Message. You can send me your thoughts, your comments, your questions by clicking on that link that says Flash Message. But you must be outside the USA, and you must be outside of Canada in order for that to make it to the air. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
These dolphins that you're talking about, what is the temperature range of the water that they can live in?
I don't know. I really don't know.
The thing is if the Gulf is warming up to the point where that it can't sustain life like that it's, kind of boiling it.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't it kill their parents?
I don't know. I can't explain the reasons behind the death of these dolphins unless, like it's been suggested, maybe something in all that oil that's killed the bottom of the, of the Gulf is maybe poisoned the systems of the young ones.
Mike, hang on. I want to talk with you some more about this, but we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line live tonight. That means that we'll talk about what is on your mind. And on the telephone with me is Mike from Kentucky. Mike, you were talking about the water temperatures and everything, and I had asked the question about, if that's the case, and I don't know what the temperature parameters are for dolphins, but if it is the water temperature, why isn't it killing their parents? I think an obvious possible answer would be these are babies, and all babies are more susceptible to things than parents who are older and tougher. So that's a possibility. But I want to read you a flash message that has come in from Rob in Australia and get your take on it, because it kind of goes along with what you've proposed, sort of. Rob says, hi, Kevin. Wondering what is your take on the subject of the mass whale beaching in New Zealand, then the earthquake, and the fact that HAARP was active just prior to and during these events. And he says, ah, it's probably just another coincidence. So, what do you think? I mean, I was not aware that HAARP was active prior to and during the earthquake. But if it was, then, of course, that's electromagnetic waves. And could that account for the whale beaching? And could it account for the dolphins dying, the baby dolphins? Could they be directing it at the Gulf for some reason?
Well, we know what happens if you stand in front of a microwave tower, you know, and there are cases on record where people have been literally fried because they got direct line of those towers. And the thing that I was going to ask, is it possible that the reason it doesn't affect the adult is because of some immunity that they have built up within their system because they are adults?
Well, yeah, it could be that.
But I do know that microwave is very dangerous. People that live close to microwave towers, it seems sometimes they come down with, you know, various types of illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and as a matter of fact, there's a new study out about people using cell phones and the fact that it stimulates brain cells. And so, yeah, it, you know, I just don't, you know, we don't have enough information to be able to say, ah, this is what it is. But don't you find it a little bit strange, Mike, that Mr. What was his name? Nizami, something like that, in Iran in 2007 suggested it was possibly electromagnetic waves. And then three paragraphs later in the article, it says his views were dismissed by environmental experts because there was no poison or pollution found in the dolphins' tissues. You know, he didn't... who are the experts? And why didn't they address electromagnetic waves? To me, that draws my attention to it and says, this guy must have been pretty much on target.
Possibly so. And since when do you get poisoning from an electromagnetic wave of the type he's talking about?
Well, parts of the article, it's not possible for me to read the whole article because of copyright restrictions.
Sure, sure.
Parts of that article, he says, well, okay, here are the possibilities. It could be pollution or poison that killed them. It could be disease that killed them, or it could be electromagnetic waves. Okay, so they dismiss his entire theory on the basis of no poison and no pollution and no disease. Okay, so they take his first two where he's just saying, okay, here's what possibilities you've got. They dismiss those, and on the basis of that, they dismiss the entire package. Well, the entire package contained electromagnetic waves, and they didn't even address that. So it's baby with the bathwater. I think he must have been very, very close, if not directly, on target.
Well, you know, they have the ability to project those microwaves in very thin beams, and it's been alleged that they can actually cause hemorrhaging of the brain and heart attacks.
Yes.
So
that's true.
Why couldn't, when they're projecting it, say maybe to cause an earthquake or a tsunami, also have the same effect on the infant whales?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe. I don't know.
Or the dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What if what they're doing, and I don't know that they're doing this, but let's say that someone out there, either HAARP or somebody, is projecting electromagnetic waves into the Gulf to try and really break up that oil that's down there on the bottom because it has killed the bottom of the Gulf in very large places. So let's say they're trying to use that to try and sort of clean it up. Maybe their intentions are good, but a side effect of that may be the dolphins dying.
Well, I guess that's a possibility, but you know also that it's been said that one possibility is the reason that they did what they did in the Gulf was because the oil volcano, you know, that they're talking about, I mean the mud volcano, that actually was in the process of possibly erupting, and that they use that accident to take the pressure off of that plate there to keep the whole Gulf from just blowing from, say, from over Mexico all the way over past Puerto Rico.
Well, yeah, I'm familiar with that theory and and its possibility. But again, we just don't have enough data. And you know, Mike, what I say all the time, when you don't have all the data, all speculation is valid.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
They don't intend for us to know too much too quickly. And it's not just there. It's just starting to go, you know, the whole entire planet. First, we had the magnetic shift. All of these volcanoes in the Pacific Rim are going, tsunamis, and now all the animals are starting to drop dead. So, as you say, there's a lot going on, and they're just not giving us enough information fast enough.
Nor shall they.
No.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
Good night.
623-444-5889. That's the main number. Toll free, 888-223-4599. First time caller line, 623-237-3814. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. I guess the comment that I would make would be there's so much human activity combined with so much natural activity that I wouldn't be spending a lot of time trying to explain a single event. I'd be looking for a pattern with a bunch of events.
Well, I think
right now we can't tell.
Well, yeah, we can't tell in detail, but it does appear that there are patterns. Now, look, there's also this, and we haven't even talked about this, John. Not tonight. We had on February the 14th a huge solar flare. Mitch Batros and others say that within so many hours after a big solar flare, we usually have major earthquake activity. So is it possible that this huge solar flare is responsible both for the whales beaching themselves in New Zealand, for the earthquake in New Zealand, for the dolphins dying, the baby dolphins dying in the Gulf? Is that possible? I don't know whether it is or not, but a big solar flare kind of involves the whole Earth.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things, Kevin. There's the moving magnetic north. There's the Earth coming up to the galactic plane. There's increasing solar flares and the possibility of Planet X. And then you throw in HARP and whatever else humans are doing. So, you know, like, what are you going to do except look at it and try and find patterns and you know, keep in mind all the possible influences and causes? I mean, that's the best you can do.
Well, right, and you have just described what I usually say almost jokingly, but there's a serious meaning behind it. Just make sure you got your surfboard ready and hang on for the ride of your life.
Yeah, and, you know, the surfboard meaning you're, surfing information as it comes in and try and ride the wave, I guess.
Yeah, trying to be as knowledgeable and prepared as you possibly can be. Of course, we know there's no way to be 100% prepared for everything that could happen. But the more you know and the more your mind is awake, alive, alert, and wide open, the better the possibility that you can, quote, ride the wave, whatever that wave may be. So that's what we're talking about, and you know, and it's going to be people who are not flexible, people who are tied to one way of thinking, and that's it. It cannot possibly be any other way. It's going to be a rough ride.
Well,
yeah, John, thanks for the call.
The only thing else I would add to that is, the feeling that you get from it is biblical. You know, what's going on now has a biblical type of feeling to it. And so I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, a whole lot of what we're seeing happen before our eyes was actually written about. Now, a lot of prophets wrote about it. Nostradamus wrote about it. And some people would say, oh, he's a quack, but I'm not so sure about that. Edgar Cayce wrote about it. Prophets in the Bible wrote about it. But we're seeing things happen pretty much as if they're following a script. And the script, one script, is to be found in the Bible. There is also another book called the Colburn Bible, which is not necessarily, it's not like a holy book, but the Colburn Bible is a collection of very ancient writings that also talk about these things. Hey, I got to run. We got a break taking over, but thanks for the call. Very interesting. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's Open Line Live tonight, BYOT, bring your own topic. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889, toll-free 888-223-4599, first-time caller line 623-237-3814, or if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. And it is to the flash message board that I go now, Ross from the United Kingdom. Could someone be playing around with some sort of electromagnetic generating device? That can disrupt very specific frequencies. Tune it for above ground and it kills birds. Tune it for the sea and it kills the dolphins. Tune it for underground, it creates earthquakes. Does that sound plausible? Yep. HARP can possibly, potentially do those things. Yeah. Absolutely. to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Marion in Houston.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. I wanted to comment on what the gentleman said about the earthquakes. I actually took time while you were doing the show to look at the number of earthquakes in 2007 and where they were located. And actually, New Zealand had several major earthquakes in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Iran had three major earthquakes in 2008. And actually, they sort of took the wind out of my sail when they mentioned the earthquake scenario, because I had called earlier in the week sort of worried about all the earthquakes showing up on the USGS chart for the Pacific, because uh-huh. it just seemed like the whole board was lit up.
Yeah, it did.
And I'm hoping with all my heart that the type of magnetic energy that is released just before the, a major earthquake isn't really being released in the Gulf of Mexico, because I can take a rock and throw it to Galveston. And that would cause not only major disaster, but major flooding, and I would really be in the aftermath. But mm-hmm. I'm praying that isn't what's going on, but it could be a major possibility.
Do you think it's man-made, or do you think it's something that is as a result of natural forces?
I believe it's natural forces, but I'm not going to cross out man-made, because I, like I said, while I was listening to the show, I sort of researched the subject that you were talking on.
Mm-hmm.
And the article did state that the dolphins that were washing ashore were babies. They mm-hmm. were aborted or stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is mostly environmental, has to be environmental.
Well, you would
and
think so.
I also saw the normal numbers. Go ahead.
No, I said, yes, you would think it would have to be environmental. But within that environmental definition, we have to include electronic pollution as a possibility, because we don't know. We don't know. I think probably the most likely explanation for the dolphins in the Gulf of Mexico, these aborted or stillborn baby dolphins, I think is going ultimately to be linked to the BP oil spill and the dispersant that the tons of dispersant that they dumped in the Gulf. I think it's going to be linked to that. If it is, I guarantee you, we'll never know it.
No, I think we'll learn, because we're bombarded every day about how people along the Gulf are not buying seafood,
mm-hmm.
Commercial seafood, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead, to me, the lead poisoning that comes from these oil spills and the mercury should be showing up in these fishes. And I think it's just to ease the economical disaster that BP did. I truly believe, you know, as you stated, our country has experimented on us.
Yeah.
They would lessen the reports of the amount of mercury, of the amount of lead, of the amount of detergents and phosphorus found in fish, in trying to alleviate economical disaster on the fisheries
mm-hmm.
and the fishery industry.
So what you're saying is that the official position of the government would be that the fish are okay, go ahead and eat them, when in fact they probably are not okay.
Yes, because, you know, a lot of people are turning in their fish to be tested, but we're just not getting the results fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fish the Gulf. Mm-hmm. And they're asking for people to voluntarily turn in some of their cats so it can be tested. But it doesn't mean that they're going to actually tell you the truth. And that's my stance on that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Mary, I want to thank you for calling. You always bring us some deep thoughts. And, you know, you didn't disappoint us this time either. So thanks for the call.
Oh, okay.
All right, folks, we are just about out of time. I might have time for one more call if it comes in, like, immediately, but we'll see. Big stuff is happening all around us. You've heard me say here on the show, you live in a sci-fi world. If in 1950 someone had written a very accurate description, like if you could travel back to 1950, take with you all your knowledge of what's going on around the world right now, back to 1950, and sit down and write an accurate account of what's going on around this world, but write it in 1950. In 1950, the only way you could publish that and sell it would be as science fiction. Think about that. We live in a bizarre science fiction world. It's a reality for us, but it's bizarre and it's science fiction compared to anything the Earth has ever known so far as we know. Never in the history of the world has this planet, as far as we know, seen such a combination of calamities. And it doesn't appear they're going to be slacking off either. So what do you do? Well, you know, some people, I guess, will throw up their hands and give up and say, that's it. I can't cope with this. That's a sad decision. You know, I've paid good money to see movies that were not quite as exciting as this. Think about that. I've paid good, hard-earned money to sit and watch sci-fi movies in a theater that were not as exciting as the times we live in. No, it's not entertainment, and that's not the way I mean it. It can be. Very frustrating. It can be, for some people, I guess, frightening. But sit back and look at it with a little distance and realize the things you can change, you can change. The things you can't change, you can't change. If your problem has a solution, then why worry about it? On the other hand, if your problem has no solution, why worry about it? If there's nothing you can do about it, why worry about it? And, just enjoy every day to its fullest. It's been my pleasure to be here this evening. I want to thank everybody who called in, everyone who sent us a flash message. Thank you for being a part of the show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.